Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Just keep pulling. Just keep pulling. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Well, we talked about distractions last week, and I wanted to, you know, we're just going to stay there for as ever, for as long as I feel like God has us there. But just talking about distractions. Distractions. Because distractions, the enemy works. You know, he has different game plans, but he pretty much has the same tactics that he tries with everybody. And one of them is that he's going to try to distract us off the Word, off of Jesus, and get us off into other areas so that the Word will become of no effect in our hearts. Now, he uses all kinds of different ways to do that. He knows you. The devil knows you. He does. He knows he can tell you coming a mile away, your personality, and he can see the call of God on you. Every one of us has a call of God on our life. It's just a matter of what area. He knows. And he's trying to stop you from serving God and stop the Word from producing in your life. Because you in and of yourself aren't much of a threat to him. None of us are. But if we turn our mind and heart and our attention towards the Word, we're a threat. Now we can be used and led by the Holy Spirit of God to promote His agenda, what God wants to do on this earth. We become a willing vessel, and Satan can't deal with that. He can't. He can't. He cannot deal with somebody that's in faith and being led by the Spirit of God, because he can't deal with God. But what he will do is try to push us off so our minds and our hearts aren't on God, so then it's just us. Now, he can deal with us. And he can knock us off relatively easy in and of ourselves, because we're no match for him. You're not. And your flesh and your mind is no match for Satan. He's been around for thousands of years. He knows men. Said some of this before. But he knows men. He knows the type of personality you are. He knows certain things about you. He knows what'll push your buttons. He does. So don't think you're going to go toe-to-toe with him. You're not. You will get whooped. He's a supernatural being. But we have the living God on the inside of us. And there is no one, no name, no being that can stand against Almighty God. Satan tried it, and he got whooped. What he was thinking, don't know. I have to ask Jesus when we get there. Why he thought it was a good idea to go and take some of the angels and talk them into going and fighting against God Almighty. How that, you know, he's smart, but how that thought, you know, seemed like a good idea. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. You know, I mean, to go against the Holy One, the Creator, the All-Powerful One, and think you're going to take Him out? No. Well, we're His children. And Satan knows. He knows. He can't take you out if your attention's on the Word of God. He knows that. Because you essentially, you're just a front. You have God Almighty inside of you, and as long as you say and do what the Word says, He has no answer for the Word. He has no answer for Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Amen. He can't stop it. So his only chance to stop us is to get us off the Word and distract us. And to get us to give it up, or to say it's not working, or to say it's not worth putting aside the time, or to let other things weasel them way into our lives so that we're more taken up with things that aren't necessarily sin, but have taken up the place that the Word of God and our God ought to have in our life, and it makes our lives and makes the Word of none effect. That's how he does it. Yeah. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's been a deceiver from the beginning. Revelation says that dragon of old, that serpent of old, right in Genesis, you find out right away, he's a liar. He came to deceive. His tactics have not changed. So what is one definition of deceive is to make you think, to get one to think on things that aren't true. Yeah. to get one to think on things that aren't true, to get your mind over on something that's a falsehood. And there are different degrees of that. People think, well, you're going to be outright deceived into Satan worship. Not many people buy that line, but some do. Usually it's a half-truth, something that sounds good, sounds, biblical, or, quotes a couple scriptures, but it's not all true. Or saying, well, it's not sin to do this, and it may not be. You got to live too. You can do these things. I mean, you can't just be too spiritual all the time, so you can do this. Well, that's true. There are certain things, of course. God doesn't expect us to walk with our head in the clouds all the time. No. But, He can get you nudged over here to where, yeah, it's nothing in your life and you're fine now, but you just keep taking steps. And steps and steps, and pretty soon something that you thought wasn't going to take much of your time is consuming your time and consuming your thoughts and consuming your behaviors and your money and everything. And it has a place it never should have had. And then we wonder sometimes, why is not the word working in my life? And that's not to condemn any of us. No, that's the way He works. Jesus has the answer. But we already have the Word. But when we start putting our attention over here, Satan, like I said, he can't stop the Word. But he'll start trying to get us over so that we make it of none effect. It's there. It's in us. But it's been choked out, or we've been distracted, or we've rejected the truth, or whatever. And so we talked about some of those things last week. I encourage you, get the MP3 and listen to it. We can't repeat everything we repeated last time, but let's turn to Mark 4:14. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to the Scriptures. We don't turn to all of them necessarily, but it's good to see it. The Scripture sheet is for a convenience, a reference, but not to take the place of our Bible. How many of you think we ought to open our Bibles in church? And I'm telling you right now, again, this is not to be hard. It's a good thing to know it in your Bible. Don't just think you know certain things. I'm not talking about, just making a method. But some people, I know that. But you get it so you know it. Look it up so you know it. So you know where it is, because we said some of these things last week. It doesn't do any good if you just kind of say, well, so-and-so said I heard that. Because Satan will push you. He'll come in. And he, if you don't know it, he'll call your bluff. And that's not to put fear in any of us or anything. I'm just saying that's another tactic that he uses. Well, you know the word, why, and he'll just let you kind of skim over it, and you're doing all these other things. He knows exactly why it's not working. Well, you don't need to do that. You need to do that. It works. It's all done already. And really, he knows. That's exactly the tactic he's trying to do to get you over here. Now, you don't really need to look at that. You don't need to do that. That's too much. Mark 4:14. Thank you, Lord. So we read the whole, the actual parable of the sower and all that last week, but we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to read through the explanation that Jesus gave, and then we'll go further. Mark 4:14 says, "The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now this is the people that actually hear the word. Now notice, there is actually a fifth group. Four groups here. There is the fifth group, the people that don't even hear the word. They didn't even hear the word. These are all talking about the word is the seed. He's talking about a man sowing seed and it landing on some type of ground. There are people, they don't even hear the word. Right. If you don't hear it, none of this even applies anyway. It's, doesn't do anything. I mean, if you don't sow seed, then look at the ground and expect something to happen, it's not going to. Anybody in the natural would think you're crazy. Okay, so that's the first thing. This is not self-serving, I'm making this statement, but I'm telling you, don't be deceived into skipping church at times. And I've talked to people. I've seen this in my own life. You'll think, I don't really need to go today. I'm telling you, half the time, the day that you think that, why are you having that thought?
That's true. Devil.
He's trying to steal from you. It's not, we're not doing this so we can check it off. At least I hope we're not doing this so we can check something off in our day timer and said, went to church, A plus. No more than you should check off your prayer time, prayed for X amount of minutes. All right, good Christian. No, we ought to do things because we believe it and because it's going to help us.
Amen.
Yeah, you can do all kinds of things in ritual, and people do it all the time in religion. It doesn't, you know, they've been better off just singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star because it would do just as much good as some of the religion and things that people do over and over. But on the other hand, if we're doing things in faith and doing it and getting more of God's Word, there is a principle there that will help us. And so I've said it, man, there's many times I felt like, I don't feel like going today, but man, I was committed to do something. That's not a bad thing. There are so many times where I was committed to do something and I had to show up. And I showed up, and man, by the time I left service, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I went. I got what I needed. I'm so glad I heard that. So anyway, there is a fifth group that don't even hear the Word. But when we hear the Word, verse 15, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Again, in that fifth group, like I said, I mentioned this last week, along with that, getting distracted while you're hearing the word so that you don't really hear it again. You're in the room, but your mind's thinking of, what am I going to do this afternoon or whatever? So you didn't really hear it. Again, in the fifth group. Satan doesn't have to do anything. His tactic is he doesn't have to do a thing with the word because you never heard the word, which is his tactic to distract you while the word's going forth.
Yeah.
Or to get you distracted so you don't put the word in you at home. Well, I was going to read this tonight, or I was going to go to this meeting, or I was going to, but I really don't feel like it. Boom. Not going to hear the word. Fifth group. Not going to do anything. Not planted. It's not going to accomplish anything. But once the word's planted, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. So immediately the word. We heard it. That means it was planted. He comes immediately to try to get it out. Through offense, through, I don't know about that, through whatever means to get it out of the heart. Because that's his first tactic. I'm going to get it out. Then verse 6, and we went into these things more detail last week. We're just trying to, you know, skim through some of this. On the other hand, we'll take time where we need to. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arrives for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So these are people that hear the word, they receive it with gladness. It evidently does something. You know, it's spring, because in the original parable, back up in verse 5, this is the area or the group that it says, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. So something sprang up, evidently got results, some results, but didn't have any real depth or root. And so when some time passed or something else happened that, well, I don't think it should happen that way, or why isn't this happening now, or whatever, got offended for the word's sake. I'm believing God, but I'm not seeing exactly what I should think I'm seeing, or God, where are you here? And dropped it and let it drop. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now I want to talk about that one specifically today, but let's go ahead in verse 20. These are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. So these are the ones who accept it and are good ground, good fertile ground. Where's the ground? It's our heart. Because the word is sown into our heart. It's not sown into our head. It's not sown into our body. It's sown into our heart. Right now, as the word's going forth, we're working on our hearts. Right now, we're working on hearts, not heads. That's the difference. Between a lot of knowledge in the world and the Word of God, it's sown in the heart. Okay, we're dealing with hearts. It's your spirit. It's your spirit that believes, not your head. Okay, so just because you get something in your head, sometimes we say, oh, that doesn't make any sense, but your heart's doing somersaults. Our heart is the thing we're concerned about because the heart is how we're going to receive from God. So right now, as the word's going forth, it's the condition of your heart. Now, your soul and everything can block certain things. That's why you don't want to let your head get in the way of believing God. But verse 19, or verse 18, 19. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word and become unfruitful. And we already touched on this a little bit at the beginning. The things that they've been sown, the word's been sown in our heart, but other stuff tries to get us off and somehow chokes the word. The word's sown. It's in there. It started its process. But other things choke it out. They just, and what are all these things? All of them are distractions, and we talked about that last week. But verse 19, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful because of other stuff. The word was growing. It's doing what it's supposed to do, but other stuff pushes it out. Let's turn over to Proverbs 20. Actually, let's go to Psalm 119 first, and then we'll go to Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 119:9. Or I said Proverbs, Psalms 119:9. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now you understand at this point, all they had was the law. They had the law. The law helped them. These were unregenerate people. They don't have the Spirit of God living inside of them. They need a set of rules to tell them exactly what to do and don't do, and that curbs sin at that point. But he's talking about the Word. And now in the New Covenant, we have the whole Bible. We have the New Covenant. The words of God have been written on our heart. But this includes, you know, this applies to us. It's the Word, His Word. We know Jesus is the Word. So, but at this point, he's talking about taking heed to the Word of God. The Word they had, we have more Word. But basically, the statutes of God, His direction, can be His Word to you. What He speaks to your heart. Whatever Jesus says. Verse 9, how can a man, a young man, cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your Word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Now notice, he's talking about the old covenant and the word that God had given. This is not a bad thing. Okay? The law was given to those people because to show them how to live in the absence of being born again and not being able to live by the Spirit of God. But over and over you read in the old covenant that they should put the word first, that they should honor the word. It helped them to curb sin and to live. Now, it's not where we're at. Thank God we've been born again. And we have the Spirit of Almighty God inside of us. So we can, it's now our conscience, our inside, is a sure guide. If we've been born again, we can look inside Because not everything is written in the Word. What you should do here, there. And we've talked about being led by the Spirit. But if we'll look inside, we'll know. Nah, shouldn't do that. And we know. And we don't even have to. We know when something's wrong. You don't have to have a sign. You know. You know inside. I know. But they didn't have that. They couldn't look inside. They look inside. That's not a true guide. So, we're going to write. You know, it's like when you have a child. And you're going to tell them how to do certain things. And you write out on a piece of paper all the things that they need to do to get this job done. Now, you stay in these parameters and you'll get the job done. Now, you have an adult, and I mean, we're talking about simple tasks like, you know, maybe, probably wouldn't even need it here, but emptying the dishwasher or something like that. You give that to an adult, they're going to look at you, really? Really? You think I need all these step-by-step instructions to do that? I have a little bit more life experience, I can get it done. But a child, they're thankful for that. What do I do next, Mommy? What? Okay? So, it's the same thing. These are spiritual, unregenerate people. They can't look inside and say, oh, I should be doing this. No. They got to look at, God gave them the Word so that they could say, okay, don't kill people. Don't lie. Yeah. Don't commit adultery. It's going to mess your life up. Okay, and on and on. But, over and over, he said to these people, put the Word before you. Verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. And I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. So on those last few, he's saying, I'm going to put what I know and what you're telling me to do first place. I'm not going to let anything steal it from me. I'm going to set it up, and I'm going to protect it. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. Now notice verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, I will not forget your word. What's he saying? The word's got a place in my life. I'm not going to let other things take that place. I have the word. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to rejoice in what you said. I'm going to remember what you said. I'm going to meditate, go over what you said. I'm going to keep it in my attention. What are we talking about? Good ground. Good ground. Not getting choked out. See, he's not talking about, well, I think I'll maybe... You don't get the impression here that he's taking the word lightly. That, well, you know, I'll do that unless I really feel like doing, you know, this over here. And then, you know, my buddies are going to do this. I might go do that. Not that, that like I said, we want to enjoy life and have a good time. How do we know the lines? Our heart. Our heart. I mean, there's lines that are written out in the Word. Don't get me wrong. If it's spelled out, thou shalt not, don't mess with it. I don't care where it is, there's a reason, don't mess with it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to look inside to know whether you're going to kill somebody or not. Or you're going to commit adultery. But all those things about where you are in life and how far up or down, you know, what are you supposed to be doing? You know, well, how should I? Is this sin for me as far as, am I putting too much emphasis over here? Well, you have to look inside. Because, there, you know, God brings us further and further. And something, you know, like kids, going up and up and up, as far as, you don't have to, you listen to somebody and say, well, you better get rid of all this in your life. Well, that may have been what they were told. But if it's not like written in the Word, then we need to look inside and God's going to show us what we need to do and cut out of our life that may be hindering the Word in our life. But however that is, we need to just put the Word first. Don't let distractions get us out or get the word out of us. We're talking about good ground. Proverbs 4:20. Let's go over there. And notice the meditation he's talking about. He's talking about your thoughts, what you're thinking on, the things that are going through your head. Keep those on the word. Because that's where the devil, a lot of times, tries to push us off in, is our thoughts. He tries to get us to doubt. He tries to get us to think on other things like we've read. Let other things choke. Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of its spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. You see, that's a picture. We're going to go through it again. But what's it a picture of? It's a picture of the process in which we guard our hearts. We do what Mark's talking about. How do we become good ground? We protect the Word of God like it is precious. And we don't let stuff come in over here or over here. What's he saying? Verse 20. Let's read through it again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. What does that give you a picture of? I'm inclining. I'm looking. I'm inclining my ear. I'm doing something, making an action to get there. That means put your ear in a position where you can hear. Sometimes we just have to remove certain things. Again, not certain things that are sin, but certain things that are taking away from the Word. And sometimes that takes effort. Just to elbow it away and say, no. Your ear keeps trying to get pulled over here. How many of you know, I mean, there's stuff on TV where try to get your ear to pull here. Thursday night at 7 p.m., there's this. Trying to get your ear to go over. I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm just telling you how it works. We have to be the judge of what we need to listen to and not listen to. But there's this event. You need to be really, you know, inclined over here. So it's trying to pull your ear. Sometimes we have to say, no, that's fine. But for me, I need to get my ear over here because my ear needs to hear the Word right now. You know, you're going home from work and you want to listen to the sports show. You know, they're talking about something, but, and I've been there, you know, but no, I put the CD in and say, no, I need to listen to this right now. And sometimes, I mean, it's just that 5 seconds where you make a decision. You know, you pop it on, CD isn't in, radio's on, choice. Leave it on or no, push it now, and within 10 seconds, all those thoughts are gone and I'm listening to what I was going to listen to. But there's a temptation there. I was going to read, but there's the controller for the TV. There's a choice. Now, I am not saying TV's bad. We can't do this. Can't. No. All I'm saying is we have to decide at certain times things are crowding out. And if we know that's not really what I need to do now, I need to do this, there will be those temptations. And we've all been there. You know, you just come in and you were going to do something, but you see, I'll just see what's on. Hour and a half, you get up and it's like, darn it. Yeah. I was going to do this. Am I the only one that's done that? No. I had meant to do this, and there was a period of time in there where I, you know, just looked like I turned it on and then I'll just see what this is, you know, and then I get done with that show. I'll just see what's going on here and then boom. So we just need to determine. But then there's other times it's like, you know what? This is the time I'm ready to, we're going to relax and do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. This is what I'm planning to do right now. But incline our ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let them get out of your heart. Don't let them be crowded out. Keep them in there. That means you just have to keep focusing. Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Their life, like what we were saying earlier, their life. The word of God is life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In other words, stay at it. Don't get, for lack of a better term, lazy in doing certain things, because with all diligence, you've got to keep coming and say no. It's because stuff will subtly try to start and then grow and then push it out. You keep on it and no. What does it say? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The very issues of life itself, this is important, in other words. The very things that will determine what we do in life, what we get out of life, what happens to us 10 years down the road, this is important stuff. And so keep it with all diligence. This is like this is emphatic, saying do this. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Don't let your mouth start talking things that disagree with what you've put in your heart. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left and remove your foot from evil. Just staying in there, saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be pushed over there or there. I'm going to keep on the word. I'm going to protect what God has given me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Praise, can you take just a little more? Hallelujah. Let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. And what do we read in John? I'll just read it to you because it was before the sermon, just so it's on here. We read in John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now who's the Word? Jesus. Who are we supposed to look at? Is the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. So when we're keeping our eye on the Word, we're really keeping it on Him. We're not talking about the Word apart from Him. It goes hand in hand, our relationship with Him. We're saying we're tight with Him. We're keeping what He's done in front of us. We're keeping all His precepts in front of us. Jesus, I just want You. I want you, Lord God. I'll walk with you. I want to keep you. Your thoughts are my thoughts. Your ways. I want to do it the way you want me to do. I want to focus on you. As I'm running this race, Lord, I know I'm going to be tempted to go over here and to go over here. But Lord, I'm just going to look at you and I'm going to keep my eyes on what you said to do. And that word, your life, is going to get planted in me, and as I look at you, I'm just watering that word, and it's just going to grow up, and it's going to push everything else out, and I'm good ground, and I will produce 30, 60, 100 fold as the word of God just flourishes in me as I look to you, Jesus. And you'll get all the glory, you'll get all the honor because it's you. All I did was look at you. See, it's Him. We keep our eyes on Him. We're not talking about some system where say, okay, you got to do this and you got to do this and then all of a sudden something will work for you. No, we're talking about focusing on the life giver and what His words are, because His words are life. We read that. Don't turn there, but I have that on your scripture sheet. John 6:63-64 said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So His words are life. That's why when we're talking about protecting the Word and about the Word going into us, and when we're talking about that in Proverbs, with diligence, we have the words come into us. We treat it with precious. We say, oh, I have the Word of God. I'm treating it precious. Nothing is going to get to this. It's a precious treasure. Nothing is going to steal this from me. It's in my heart. Nothing will take my eyes off you, Lord. We'll look to you. We'll look to you. Our job is to just stay focused on Him. Have you ever... Okay, maybe you don't want to admit this. Have you ever been to a tanning bed? I have, back when I was in college. Now, tell me, when you turn that tanning bed on, and you're on it, what do you have to do with getting a tan at that point?
Nothing.
Well, let's say it's already closed, and you turn it on, and it's got a timer, so it doesn't go for, you know, too long, and make you look like a lobster. But what do you have to do? At that point, you're not tanning your skin. The light's tanning your skin. What's your job?
Lay there.
Get to the tanning salon and get under there and turn it on and lay there. The light will do the job. The light will produce the results. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about because we can't do anything with the changes in our life, really. Lasting change. What we can do, though, is focus on Him. The Word of God, the light, the life giver. We just have to get our eyes on Him and keep it. It would be like getting in the tanning booth and then getting out and then getting in and then getting out and then walking out of there 30 minutes later and wondering why our skin looks the same. This is exactly what happens in life. Satan does not want you in that booth. So if you get in, he'll do everything he can to distract you and say, oh, well, I forgot about this, and get out. And keep you out and walking around that building for as long as he can, because he knows if you stay under there, you're coming out bronze. You're coming out strong. The Word will change us. And so that's what we're talking about, is staying with Jesus, just staying hooked up with Him, whatever that means. Because it's just staying with Him. It's keeping our meditation. Keeping our behavior. Keeping everything just focused up with Him. Jesus, I'm running after you. So that, what does it say? Hebrews 12. Let's read that again. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those people that have gone on, that aren't where we are, that can't do anything on this earth anymore, we're here for such a time as this. We're here. We're running our race. Let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay all those distractions, everything that would hinder us, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the throne of God. What did it say? And sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's all we're talking about. Is staying focused on Him. Letting Him, getting the Word in us, keeping it there so that our hearts are protected. So we're not letting the deceitfulness of sin or the care for other things or anything else choke out the Word. We're just saying, God, I'm staying focused on You and I will be changed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God.